So, for our reflection today, I want to begin by thanking God for the opportunity of coming back in this place dedicated to His name. I know we have worshipped in various ways over this past period, that there is nothing as good as getting into a house dedicated to God. That's why the psalmist says, I was glad when they said, let us go up to Jerusalem, the house of God, to worship God. So we give God thanks and praise for that. And our Bible passage for today is Matthew chapter 14, from verses 22 to 33. And the main theme there is Jesus walks on the water. But the passage reads as follows. Then he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed the crowd, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was many furlongs distant from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately he spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Have no fear. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you on the water. He said, come. Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, O man of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So, this is the passage, and our text is taken from verse 27 of where we read. It reads, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I, have no fear. Take heart, it is I, have no fear. Going back to the passage we read, which says, then Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. He made the disciples. We remember in this story, the story before this, in Matthew chapter 14, from verse 13 to 21, Jesus, a big crowd, came to see Jesus, and they were with Jesus. Jesus was moving away from the city because Herod the king killed John the Baptist, and there was fear everywhere. So Jesus left the city to go to the side of the lake to spend some time in quietness. But before he got to that place, a big crowd had gathered there, waiting for him to arrive. Said a great crowd. And when Jesus saw them, he wasn't irritated. He wasn't upset. He didn't say, why are these people following me everywhere? Why can't they allow me to rest? He didn't say that. When Jesus saw them, he had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. Very, very compassionate. And going further, in verse 14 of that chapter, Matthew 14:14 says, he had compassion on them, on the great crowd, and healed the sick in their midst. So he didn't leave them alone. He cared for them. And in that story, in that passage, we saw Jesus after preaching to them, teaching them, giving them words of comfort, he fed them. And then after feeding them, what did he do next? He made sure his disciples were taken care of too. So the Bible says, Jesus, I'm getting used to covering this, so I have to put this in place. But the problem is that the air from there have lost the glass. So Jesus made disciples get into the boat and go before him. So he settled his disciples. He didn't abandon them. After teaching the crowd, he knew that disciples were tired. He was mindful of them. He brought them first, made sure they entered the boat and left. And then the passage continued. So, but one thing we need to see here. The Bible says Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him. So he is the one that sent them in the boat. They didn't just turn their back on him and leave. He sent them. And knowing that things will go smoothly, he sent them. If he had feared anything, he wouldn't have sent them. But he was the one that sent them off to move ahead of him. And then he came back and then dismissed the crowd. He didn't leave them just to scatter. After finishing with them, he sent his disciples out and they came back and dismissed them. Sent them out too. So he took care of the crowd. He did not abandon them. He did not turn his back on them. And he made sure they were all okay. And this is in line with what we find in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. If you are with God, if you are following Jesus, he will never ignore you, no matter the situation. Jesus will never abandon you. Jesus is mindful of people that come to him. No matter the situation, he's mindful of that. So Deuteronomy 31 verse 8 says, therefore, the Lord himself goes before you. He will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. The Lord will never leave you or forsake you. No matter how bad the situation may be, God will never abandon you. Remember that God is the maker of the universe. He's the creator of everything that exists. He has no beginning. He has no end. He is the source of every existence. His power supersedes every power. His wisdom supersedes every wisdom. He can never ever abandon you. No matter what is happening in your life, trust him and look unto him. So the passage continues. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. Jesus was always in constant communication with the Father through prayer, setting an example for us. Jesus had done a mighty miracle using 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to feed, the Bible says, 5,000 men, not counting women and children. That was a great miracle. And then he sent his disciples on their way, dismissed the crowd, and then withdrew to the mountain to pray. Despite all the power he had, he didn't say, "I'm tired, I need to go and rest." He knew the importance of being by himself and spending time with the Father alone. This is very, very important. Do you make time in your life to spend time with the Father alone? No matter how busy your schedule may be, Jesus was very busy. He came to that side to rest. The crowd were there. He didn't drive them away. He had compassion on them. He spoke to them. He healed their sick. He fed them and dismissed them. And still had time to be by himself to pray. He didn't tell his disciples, "Stay around until I finish." He didn't want any interruption in his communication with the Father. Most of the times, our communication with the Father is interrupted by many schedules we have. At times we have many things in our minds that if we kneel down to pray or to talk to God, all our thoughts will be coming into our mind that we cannot talk to him. We need to spend time with God in prayer. It's important. No matter how busy your schedule may be, Jesus is the Son of God. He came from God. He and the Father are one. But he never ceased talking to the Father. We must always pray. We must always spend time alone with God. It's very, very important. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, Jesus admonished Peter and the disciples that went to pray with him. He said, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Because the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." So he wants us to watch and pray at all times. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, the Bible says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Prayer is very, very important. There is this saying, a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. The more you pray, the more you empower yourself to overcome temptation, to overcome the troubles of this life. The more you pray, the stronger you are. The more you pray, the more miracles are assured for you. Prayer is very, very important. That's why the Bible, Jesus told his disciples, "Watch and pray." And furthermore, in Thessalonians, St. Paul says, "Pray with your ceasing. Give thanks to God in all circumstances. No matter what is happening, thank God for that. Thank God for that. And then proceed to presenting to him your needs." It's very, very important. Jesus gave us this example. After all that he did that day, he went to pray. And then So prayer enables us to overcome fear and enable our faith to grow. We need to spend more time in prayer. Then the passage continues. One evening came, he was there alone. Jesus was there alone. But the boat, by this time, was 20 furlongs distant from the land. Many furlongs here, some theologians see it as many stadia. A stadium was about 607 feet or 185 meters. So between the waves, the wind was strongly against the boat. And in the fourth watch of the night, that was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., Jesus came to them walking on the sea. Between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. Could be she spent a long time praying and then came. And see here, the wind was against them. The wind was against the boat. And remember that it was Jesus that sent them out. Despite Jesus sending them out, the wind was still against them. If Jesus knew there would be any harm, he wouldn't have sent them out. But he knew he was more than whatever would happen on the way. And then, despite the danger, Jesus wasn't afraid of the danger. He wasn't fearing what would happen because he knew he could overcome it. So, he had no fear. So, he was walking on the sea. And the Bible says when the disciples saw him coming, they were terrified. They were terrified and started panicking. And immediately Jesus said, they thought it was a ghost. And they cried out in fear. And then immediately Jesus said, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. At times, we are confronted by fear. Some of this fear may be real or imagined. They saw it and thought it was a ghost. It's an imagined fear. They did spend time to remember that they were sent out by Jesus. Therefore, nothing would happen to them. Rather, they imagined what was happening. They saw the wind. They saw something they thought is a ghost. And they were terrified and they cried out. We are confronted by all kinds of fear. And then some of them may not have been real. So what did Jesus say to them when they became terrified? The Bible says, he responded, take heart, it is I, have no fear. In the Bible, when people are saying that there are 365 times that the Bible said, do not fear or do not be afraid. 365 times, which means it has one for every day. Every day of your life, the Bible tells you, do not fear. No matter the situation, don't be afraid. So, and Peter answered, in doubt and in worry, Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you on the water. He said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Jesus said, come. Peter walked out of the boat and successfully walked on the water. When Peter was walking on the water, he was looking at Jesus. His focus was on Jesus. And he was succeeding. He didn't know. He forgot that he was walking on the water. And he was making even the wind couldn't stop him because his eyes were on Jesus. And what did the Bible say? But when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid. And began to sink. When his eyes was on Jesus, he was succeeding, walking on the water. But the moment his eyes moved from Jesus and went to the wind, and probably went to the water, he started sinking. So why did Peter start sinking? His eyes moved from Jesus. In the fights of this life, the moment you receive, you remove your eyes from Jesus, problems will come. But no matter the problems of this life that you are facing, once you have your eyes on Jesus, you will be an overcomer. No matter how the temptation comes, no matter the intensity of the problem, don't look away from Jesus. Always have your focus on Jesus. While looking at Jesus, Peter was okay. When his eyes left Jesus, problem started. But when he cried to Jesus again, Jesus did not abandon him. Jesus will never abandon whoever puts trust in him. He will never abandon you. Even if you make a mistake and move your focus away from him, quickly come back to him. If you are traveling along the freeway, there is no red light, there's no yellow light. You'll be moving freely. But the moment you exit and get into the street, you start meeting bumps and red lights. If you want to avoid red lights and bumps, move back to the freeway, and then you continue. So moving with Jesus, and having your focus on Jesus, and believing in him, keeps you going, and makes you an overcomer, no matter the challenges of life. Jesus will always be there for you. So what did Jesus say was Peter's problem? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then Jesus says, "O man of little faith, why did you doubt?" One of the things that causes fear in our life is doubt. You are doubting. Is God capable of doing this? Am I sure I'm in the right place? Am I sure this is part of what God can do? Doubt. Jesus told Peter, "O man of little faith." Number one, little faith. Number two, doubt. Little faith. Doubt. These are the things that made Peter to sink. We need to focus on Jesus. We shouldn't look away from him. And then, when this happened, Jesus caught Peter and brought him back to the boat. And then the wind ceased, because the wind was also afraid of Jesus. When people saw this absolute calmness that ensued, because of the presence of Jesus, they worshipped him and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of the Creator, or the Creator of the universe. The Creator, because the Bible says, "Through him all things were made." So everything that he created, honor him, they respect him, they fear him. So look unto Jesus. Things will calm down when you are there, when you need them to do so. So at this challenging times in the world, when many things are happening, lockdowns everywhere, with unending sight to COVID-19 and everything that is happening around, our focus must be on Jesus. Whatever is happening now in your life, our focus must be on Jesus. Although we are aware that these are dangerous times, let us spend more time praying, spend more time with Jesus, trusting Him and believing that He will never ever abandon us. Don't give up. Don't look away from Jesus. You may be facing other life challenges that cause fear and anxiety, like sickness, loss of job, and all manner of problems. Let your eyes constantly be on Jesus. No matter what has happened or what is happening everywhere, fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't look away from Him. Fear has been described in many ways. I will not spend time to go into that. But fear is a natural thing. It happens. But it is also a powerful human emotional response that alerts us about the presence of danger or the threat of harm. It can be real or imagined, physical or spiritual. But one thing is that the awareness that you have someone greater than that problem and keeping our focus on Him, it makes us to overcome. So overcoming fear requires faith in Jesus, looking at Jesus and trusting Him. Looking away from Jesus may heighten the problems. So we have a choice to make here. Will you look at Jesus or will you look at the problem? If you keep on looking at the problem, you are not looking at Jesus. If you look at the problem, you may start sinking. But if you look at Jesus, Jesus will hold you and you will overcome the problem. So what is required here is faith. Faith, conviction that God will get you through this. No matter the situation, believe it. He's capable. He's willing. He's capable of doing it. Like it was described in Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. You are sure that you are going to make it. Stand by that. Believe it. Don't look away from Jesus. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 11 verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever will draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. So at this challenging time, one of the things we need to be looking at, we need to concentrate on, is what He said in Psalm 23, verse 24. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that is valley of deep darkness, even if we are immersed into problems, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So even if you are the greatest danger of this life, the Bible says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Let that be in your heart always. No matter the situation, I will fear no evil. Tell him, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And then, to wrap up, I want us to look at these scriptural passages. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Then Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, for I am the Lord your God, who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Isaiah 43 verse 1, but now Thus says the Lord, your Creator, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel. Do not fear, I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine. Then Psalm 53:55-54. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? And finally, Psalm 118 verse 6. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? It is important to have our focus on Jesus at this time of need. We have no better option than that. And He will see us through the challenges of this time and keep us strong in whatever we are going through, and also enable us to overcome. May God strengthen us. May God's power uphold us. May God's love enfold us. May God's presence keep us going in that most wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Amen.